We're going to come back in just a moment with Maurice Cotterell. We're going to continue talking to him about his work and research with his latest book, of course, Future Science. And, of course, we'll take your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. We'll take your calls in a moment here with Maurice Cotterell. Maurice, so if the Christ figure has reincarnated over and over again, you have to assume it will continue to reincarnate. So when does the entity come back again?
It's difficult to say, George. He may be with us now. It's very difficult to say. What we do know, and I've documented this in Future Science, is that after he came back as Lord Peikal, and as I mentioned earlier, Peikal comes from Pascal, from the Hebrew for the Passover, and it's also the Roman Catholic word for Pascal, Easter, which is the time Jesus died.
Right.
Now, of course, after that, just before that, he came back in Peru as Viracocha in the year AD 350 and Viracocha Pachacamac in the year 500. Now, if we go back to the Hindu believed heaven to be a milky ocean. That's why they worship the cow as being a sacred creature, because the cow gives milk. And Viracocha, to the Peruvians, means foam of the sea. And what they were trying to tell us was that when we're in the foam of the sea, we are perfect beings. Because it's only when we're in the foam of the sea, the milky ocean, that we are in contact with the earth beneath our feet, the water lapping over our ankles, the sun in our face, the fire, and the air around us. That's when we are perfect. If we were to move further into the water, then we'd lose touch with the earth. If we were to move onto the beach, we'd lose touch with the water, so we'd be imperfect. And this is why the two miracle makers who walked the lands of Peru, Viracocha and Viracocha Pachacamac, legend says, healed the sick with their bare hands. And they walked the lands of Peru. Now, once we get a grip on that, we can go to Machu Picchu and we can see again that there was another leader called Pachacuti Inca Yupanqui in around 1450 who built Machu Picchu in the Peruvian mountains. And we note with Pachacuti Inca Yupanqui, if you look at the buildings in Machu Picchu, that the stones fit together very, very precisely, so they can't allow light into them. And also, the stone blocks are connected by copper straps. Now, this is because at that time, there was a sunspot minimum, so fertility was affected, and they weren't having babies. So to improve the fertility, they put the virgins of the sun into dark rooms, and this increased the production of the thymine hormone, melatonin, which increased the fertility. And they also connected the stone blocks together with copper straps to short-circuit the electric field from the sun, because the electric field interferes with the magnetic field, so they wanted to boost the magnetic field. So what we find is that as Jesus has come back every time, he's tried to teach us about these things, and as I say, he could be with us now, or he might be coming back shortly. It's very difficult to say.
Okay, if he comes back, or if he's here, what can we expect?
We can expect what we got last time, that mankind will nail him to a cross. And if we look at all of the decoded treasures of the Maya in Future Science, and this page after page after page is hundreds of illustrations, and they explain that Lord Peikal was known as the Lord of Sacrifice. He was born in a stable. When he grew up, he performed miracles. He died on a cross made of two pieces of wood. When he died, he became the morning star and the evening star, the twin star Venus. That's what the Maya tell us about their leader, Lord Peikal. And it's all very familiar. Jesus was born in a stable. When he grew up, he performed miracles. When he died, he became Venus in the heavens, as the Bible tells us. And the Bible also tells us in the book of John, Jesus says, I shall return. In other words, he will come back again to earth. And he'll keep on returning to try to get this information over to those who are ready for it. Those who are not ready for it are going to ignore it. I can give somebody my book, and I can't make them open it. It's like trying to get a horse to drink water. I can get it to the water, but I can't make it drink. And if I give somebody a book, there's a good chance they won't open it. But when they're ready, to open it, then they'll become aware of the secret knowledge. And this secret knowledge is the preserve at the moment of the Freemasons. And I noticed that there was an advert on Coast to Coast a few seconds ago about the Kennedys and the CIA and so on. And we have to remember that the Kennedys were killed because they were Catholics. They were not Freemasons. In the 16th century, the Pope banned the Catholics from becoming Freemasons. And the Freemasons are the people that run America and the UK. There is no government in America. There are the Freemasons. The enforcement arm of the Freemasons is the CIA. The CIA controls the government. If the president doesn't do what they tell him, they kill him, just like John F. Kennedy. And this is the way it works. Now, the Freemasons built all of the monuments, the Gothic cathedrals around the 10th and 11th centuries throughout Europe, and they encoded all of this information about the sunspot cycle, how to get to heaven, so that when they died and came back, they could rediscover it for themselves, because then it would give them a better chance of getting to heaven the next time around. Because it's so, so difficult to get to heaven. Everything's against us. What we think is real is unreal. You know, we see the world in an inside-out, back-to-front, upside-down way of things. And the idea is, as I pointed out in the Celtic Chronicles, which explains that the Holy Grail, the cup of the Holy Grail, is in the Dublin Museum in Ireland. It's got a code on it, which is 6666 all around the base. And when you turn it upside down, the sixes become nines, 9999. And in the middle, you have a quartz crystal. And, of course, that represents the sun, because quartz changes magnetism by 45 degrees. When light passes through the quartz, it twists the magnetic field. And this is precisely what the sun is doing as it spins on its axis. So they're telling us, using numbers, the Mayans use pictures, the Bible uses numbers, and they use numbers because we've got 10 fingers, and every civilization had 10 fingers. So every civilization understands the decimal system. Every single civilization can count on 10 figures. And so in the Bible, they use the numbers of 666, the mark of the beast. They use the numbers 999, the mark of the Freemason. And in the Bible, in the book of Ecclesiastes, they choose the number 999 because it says that when King Solomon, and Solomon means the sun and the moon, the heavens, when King Solomon looked really hard, he could only find one good man out of 1,000. In other words, 999 were not good. And what this means is the Freemasons took it upon themselves to become the 999, the people that control the majority of the people, the 999, the 1% that control the 99.9%. And so what we find is that these Freemasons, they were originally stonemasons, but then they, because they built the pyramids, they built the cathedrals in stone so that the stone would last forever, so that when they reincarnated, they could get the secrets back for themselves. They keep all of this knowledge for themselves because they believe only a certain number of people can go to heaven at any one time because of the mechanism of the transmigration of souls. And they believe only 144,000, it says in the Bible, can go to heaven at any one time.
Interesting that figure gets bantered about so much, Maurice.
It does. And in fact, Bruce Cathy, the New Zealand airline pilot, he suggested that the speed of light was 144,000 minutes of arc per second, which is a variation on Einstein's figure for light between two straight points. Cathy was looking at light for a spherical universe. And what it seems to me, if you look at the Bible, it says only the 144,000 with light on their foreheads will go to heaven. Now, of course, the idea, if you look at the Olmec face, which is on my website, which I decoded about 5 weeks ago, what we see is that when we put the Olmec face on top of itself, the mirror image, the transparencies, and rotate them by 33 degrees, and that's the number of the 33-degree Freemason, then what we see is a picture of God, a white man with a beard, ancient civilizations portrayed in that way. And the white man with a beard, and you can see it on the website for yourself, has on his crown chakra, he has the soul leaving his head, and the crown chakra looks like the solar system with a ball for the sun and the planet Venus above as a morning star and the evening star. And when we turn that picture upside down, we get another picture of a white man with a beard. And when we turn the transparencies around by 66.6 degrees, we get more pictures telling us how to get to heaven. When we put the transparencies on top of each other by 99.9 degrees, we get more pictures telling us that we can aspire to become the spirit in the sky. When we turn the transparencies to 144 degrees, we get a shark, a picture of a shark's head. And this is Jesus telling us that he was both a shark and a fish, because he was known as Pisces, which is Pisces is a Spanish word for fish. And the mark of the fish, which Christians use, which is a two sectors of a circle overlapping each other, that represents the overlapping planet Venus. Venus in the morning, Venus in the evening, put them both together, two circles. The section in the middle becomes the shape of a fish, which is the shape of Venus. So by putting the picture of the shark there, Jesus was telling us that on the one hand, he's a mammal, the shark. On the other hand, he's a fish, which is the Pisces. And the age of Pisces began 2,014 years ago when Jesus was born. If we turn the picture around again at 144,000 degrees, we see a small baby in the heavens with wings, which is telling us that we can be reborn in the heavens with wings. And in the baby's head, we can actually see the hemispheres of the brain. And this is telling us that the way Lord Peikal produced these miracle pictures was not by using transparencies and a computer like I had done. What Lord Peikal did was he made an image in one part of his brain, the left hemisphere. Then he made a mirror image, and the mirror image is always the soul. This is how the ancients portrayed the soul. It's like the left hand is the mirror image of the right hand. Once he had two images in the brain, one in the left, one in the right, he brought the two images together inside the brain and processed them within the brain. He can do that because he can perform miracles. We can't because we're primitive.
Let's take a few calls here for you, Maurice, while we still have some time here. Let us go to Annie in Birmingham, Alabama, to get things started. Annie, go ahead.
Thank you, Maurice. It's a two-part question. Do you believe that anyone actually has a true perpetual motion device? And B, do you believe it is possible to build a true perpetual motion device that could run a generator and make free electricity without fuel? A lot of people claim to have one, and I'm still not riding free.
It's an interesting question, Annie. Perpetual motion in the physical world seems impossible because of losses along the way. In other words, if the machine is working, it is expending energy and wasting energy, and therefore we can never get a perpetual motion machine. However, we can get free energy machines. In future science, I show that once we understand how gravity works, that gravity waves from the hydrogen atom stimulate motion in neighboring atoms, like iron and nickel and other elements, then what happens is all we need to do is put the whole of the periodic table together, the 120 elements, in a straight line. And then what happens is the hydrogen atom at the left-hand side of this chain will send out gravity waves, and that will affect the next atom in line, say lithium. That will affect the next atom in line, say beryllium. And it will cause all of these atoms to spin. As those atoms spin, they suck in heat from the outside. So nothing's moving except the atoms. And as we go along the chain, the 120 elements will get hotter and hotter and hotter, and we'll get so much energy at the end that the elements at the end, the 120th one, which hasn't yet been named, will melt. So we can get free energy, but not by using perpetual motion.
Well done. Let's go to Gabriel, truck driving somewhere in California. Gabriel, go ahead, sir.
Hello, gentlemen. I wanted to ask a question about God or the Almighty, if this is in of anybody's God that they perceive. If God is all, surrounds all, and is in every living thing, where in the world could the devil or hell exist?
That's okay, Gabriel. I tried to cover this earlier. And basically, as I said, Einstein said that E equals mc squared. Well, if E is godly energy on the left-hand side of the equation, then everything on the right must be the devil. So the stars are the devil, the planet Earth is the devil, the human body is the devil. Every single thing on the right-hand side must be the opposite to God, because it originated from God and crossed a mathematical equation. Whenever, if you go back to school, whenever we take something from one side of the equation to the other, we have to change the sign from positive to negative. So if God created the universe, then he must have crossed the equation. He must have thrown some voltage away, which became negative. So everything in the physical world is the devil. So now we, and the physical world is hell. So then we get to the next step of our understanding. And what happens is, two human beings make love, if you like. A fetus is developed in the womb, and the fetus starts to generate electrical currents and voltages. And that fetus may become, let's say, minus 5 volts in the womb. Don't forget, God is positive voltage. So the body of the baby is opposite. So that is the devil. The body is the devil. But that minus 5 volts attracts plus 5 volts down from heaven, down from God. The 5 volts of the body tears off a corresponding voltage from God. So the 5 volts sticks to the fetus in the womb. So the fetus is now a combination of God plus 5 volts and the devil, the body, minus 5 volts. That's what we call a human being, half God, half devil.
Jennifer's in Michigan now, and first-time caller, you're up with us. Jen, go ahead.
Hey, I was wondering, what happened with the souls when they commit suicide, like the energy when it transfers over, where does it go? To the same spot as people who died naturally?
Yeah, that's a good question, Jennifer. Clearly, there is no escape from hell. We are in hell now. There is no escape. Dante said, abandon hope all ye who enter. So killing ourselves is not going to allow us to escape. And because they're a troubled soul, people who kill themselves usually kill themselves to escape pain. It could be emotional pain, intellectual pain, spiritual pain, or physical pain. They kill themselves to escape the pain, which is unfortunate and it's very sad, but we can't escape. So when the soul leaves the body and the voltage has fallen, it will reincarnate as a lower voltage soul. So it will come back to Earth again. And it could come back as a human being, it might come back as an animal or a plant, or it could come back as a tree. A tree is a living thing with a soul and a body. Everything in our universe, every living thing, can only be God and the devil. There can be no other formula. This is something that runs throughout the universe, as George says, that the laws are the same throughout the universe for every living thing. Now, everything that doesn't live still has God. It still has atomic energy inside it, like a rock is made of atoms. And for this moment in history, the atoms in that rock are simply inanimate. They haven't got the living energy, the real-time generated voltage that the soul produces. As I was saying earlier, if we put the battery into the monkey starts playing the drum. If we take the battery out of the monkey, it stops playing the drum, and we say that the monkey is dead. And the same thing happens to a human body. It gets a soul when it's in the womb, and it becomes alive, and we call it a person. But when the body gets sick, the voltage drops, say, from minus 5 volts to 0. So there's nothing to attract the plus 5 volt soul any longer, which attached to the body in the womb. So the soul is released when the body gets sick. And then the soul again makes a new journey and reincarnates in a different form.
Maurice, we're going to come back with you in just a moment and take some final phone calls here on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, among the guests, Jim Rickards joins us. The death of money, the coming collapse of the international monetary system. That's fascinating. We'll be back in a moment with final calls with Maurice Cotterell on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. Maurice, let me ask you a question about reincarnation. Why is it that only under some types of hypnotherapy do people remember their past lives?
Well, there is a mechanism in regard to reincarnation, which, generally speaking, does not allow us to recall past lives, and that makes it more difficult to escape from hell, because once we start to work things out for ourselves and learn the rules of the game, then it makes it easier for us to escape. All souls are the same in that they are all godly energy. But then again, all souls are different. To use an analogy, for example, if we take 6 loaves of bread, each of them is made from flour, water, and yeast, and they all taste the same. But the loaves themselves could contain information. For example, one might be shaped as a letter O. One might be long and thin, like the letter I. Another may be shaped like the number 6. And another like the number 8. They're all the same. They're all made of flour, water, and yeast, yet they're all different. They each contain different information. And the soul can likewise carry modulations into the next life, which the Tibetans refer to as sanskaras. In this way, a one-time famous artist may reincarnate with the ability to paint a picture. A one-time famous musician may reincarnate to play good music. So, the fact that we don't remember our past lives because we've got a new heart and a new brain every incarnation, and it's like a CD. We've got a blank CD when we come back. The brain is blank and the heart is blank, so we've got no memory of it. But then if we, you know, we shouldn't let that put us off, because if we look at it in a practical sense, there are some days in our lives that we can't remember at all. In my own life, I can't remember the 16th of July, 1999, for example. I can't remember that in any way, but it doesn't mean I didn't exist on that day. So simply because I can't remember a particular day or a particular lifetime doesn't mean it didn't happen.
All right, back to the calls we go. We shall pick it up by going to Toledo, Ohio. Kay is with us. Kay, you're on with Maurice Cotterell. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, George. Maurice, I disagree with you on the Jesus having come back in Leo DiNardi Vinci's body and being reincarnated and has come back several times. According to the Bible, Revelation is going to be the second coming of Christ. He comes after the seventh trump. And the beast, which is the devil, comes back pretending to be Jesus. So I disagree with you on that.
Okay, well, you're entitled to. Maurice, I'll let you react to that. Go ahead.
Okay, Kay, thank you very much. The book of Revelation is difficult to interpret, and by and large, it is a question of interpretation. I haven't seen it there when Jesus says he's going to come back again a second time, but it depends what you call Jesus. I mean, if you call Jesus Lord Krishna, Tutankhamun, the Olmec Head, Buddha, Qin Shi Huangdi, Jesus, the Viracochas, Lord Peikal, and Pachacuta Inca Yupanqui, then Jesus might come back in a different guise. Now, Jesus himself said, I will come back in the book of John. And I've not seen anything in Revelations to that effect. So, to me, and you have to remember that Revelation is a vision of St. John, who was on the island of Patmos, and he wrote it about 200 years after the rest of the Bible was written. It was actually annexed to the Bible at the time, and in fact, some versions of the Bible don't contain Revelation at all. So it's not for me to say that Jesus will come back or won't come back. All I'm doing is, to decode the messages they left behind, which nobody else has ever seen except those who have read my books. And as I say, if you want to click onto the website, you'll see some of the pictures which are living miracles. And I say they're living miracles. Other people can't see them. Archaeologists, for example, they can't see any picture. Now, it's like asking a blind man to describe the sunset. Because a blind man can't describe the sunset doesn't mean that the sunset isn't there. It simply means that the blind man can't see it. Now, some of us have this vision where we can see God and Jesus all around us. And God is alive in every living thing. So I don't think the fact that you believe that Revelation says that he'll come back a second time is in any way relevant, or in fact it doesn't in any way affect the analysis or the research that I've undertaken, which shows the historical reincarnations of this godly energy. And really that's all I can say.
Maurice, any idea how many people percentage-wise believe in reincarnation?
I understand it's two-thirds of the world's population because we have all of the Eastern peoples, including the Chinese. Some people argue that the Catholic Church does not recognize reincarnation, although it did at one time. But I argue against that. I say, categorically, the Catholic Church does recognize reincarnation. The Catholic Church believes that we are body and soul. If the soul is good, it goes to heaven. If the soul is bad, it goes to hell. What I've shown using Einstein's equation is that the earth is hell, which means that reincarnation occurs for the Catholics if they believe in heaven and hell. They can't have it both ways. So souls do come back to earth because this is hell. And there, I should have just added, George, that there's no doubt about that it's hell. All we have to do is look around us. You know, when I discovered how gravity worked, or in order to discover it, I had to put myself in God's shoes. And the beginning of future science begins with, if I was God designing the universe, how would I make all the particles that are flying around all over the place come together into planets and stars and heavenly bodies? And in the same way, if you want to figure out if this is hell, if I were God, how would I design hell? Because God's designed it. And one of the ways is I would introduce time, which is what we covered a little bit earlier. And we have to be mindful that when we're sad and miserable, time slows down. And when we're really happy, time speeds up. That makes sure that we're miserable all the time. I mean, it's obvious. It's obvious that we're in hell. And if I were designing hell, I'd make sure that there were 12 different types of personality that argue all of the time. And that's why we have astrology. That's why we have the 12 signs of the zodiac, 12 years of the Chinese astrological calendar. Because if we were all the same, then sooner or later somebody would stand up and say, I think this is an awful place, I'm going to commit suicide. Well, if we were all the same, everybody would commit suicide at the same time, and life would stop, and God would stop growing. So to prevent that, God makes us have 12 different types of personality so that we all argue most of the time. That way, if somebody wants to commit suicide, somebody else leaves them to it and lets them get on with it or whatever. Another mechanism I'd introduce is I'd make sure there were natural disasters like earthquakes, floods, volcanic eruptions. And I'd make sure that mankind could never travel faster than the speed of light, which we can't, because gravity waves hold the molecules of our body together, and gravity waves travel at the speed of light. So if we were ever to travel in a spaceship at the speed of light, we would travel faster than the gravity waves holding the body together and disintegrate. So the only way we can travel faster than the speed of light is when the soul leaves the body, because the soul is light. So the soul then can then travel to other galaxies and other stars and other planetary systems after we die. And that's why I believe that there is much more life on different galaxies, but we will never get to those galaxies in the physical world. It's not possible. But this explains why the stars exist. Why would God make the stars if we couldn't go there?
Just for looks? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
Let's go to Gary in Santa Maria, California now. Hi, Gary. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call. Really appreciate it. Real quick, see if you agree with a couple of these statements. Quartz, I believe, is a living entity. George had a story that they found the age of the Earth is 60 million years older than they thought. The average quartz crystal is at least 300 million years old. The older quartz is 3 billion years old. If you have a piece of quartz around, you have one very wise old lady or old man right there. Quartz reacts in microbalance. They use it to measure individual molecules. The smallest little tiny piece of quartz can divide an ounce into 2 billionths of a gram. Your piezo lighter in your pocket, you snap it, a little tiny fragment of quartz puts out a 4,000-volt spark that a grown man can feel up his arm. When you have astrology and you're having the impact of quantumly entangled protons, neutrons, and electrons bouncing off planets, being measured by quartz along with every radio wave that ever went out from the early 1900s, I would classify quartz as possibly having a soul. All you need to do is make connection with your quartz, realize that your quartz is in your cell phone, George. It's on your wrist, except you're wearing your wristwatch on the wrong side. It should be on the side where your pulse is.
Well, I hope I have a pulse on both arms.
The next thing to love is gratitude. Gratitude is the sister of love. I have a hard time expressing love to somebody as I would my wife, but I can express gratitude as a male. If you express gratitude to the quartz on your wrist that's vibrating at 32,765 hertz to keep time every day, keep you on schedule, George, the same quartz is vibrating my radio, the same quartz is in your cell phone, talking to the cell phone towers. It's possible using biophotons emitted by your throat chakra and your eyes to let these 300 to 3 billion year old crystals combine with your own and start changing the world.
All right, let's get Maurice's take on that. Maurice, what do you think?
Yes, very interesting indeed, Gary. And I couldn't agree more. The universe is one of vibrations. We are vibration. We are 75% water, and the water is made up of hydrogen atoms, which vibrates at 1.42 gigahertz. And this vibration allows us to exist. In other words, when we feel an eyelash in our mouth, we can feel it because it's affecting the vibration, and it changes the standing waves within our mouth. When we feel a grain of sand in our eyeball, it's because the vibrations of our eyeball change and the brain detects the changes in vibrations. When we are sick, it's because we're either vibrating too quickly or too slowly. So I agree with you about the quartz. The fact is we are, the way God designed human beings was not as a lump of meat that was consciously aware of its environment. In other words, if you get too hot, then your body naturally starts to perspire to allow more evaporation of moisture from your body and therefore cool the body down. You're not doing this consciously. God inside you is doing all this. God is regulating your body. God is finding the eyelash in your mouth or the stone in your shoe. And this is why it's so important to recognize, as Jesus said, you are gods. You are a god. Now, you happen to be entombed in a body. Now, the body is like an overcoat. One day you'll take off the overcoat and you'll move on to another body. And I agree with what Gary says. There is love in the universe and there is gratitude. I don't see any reason why a male can't express both personally. I both love people and I'm grateful for having them in my life. And it's the good people in my life I remember, not the bad ones. And I think when we look back in life, no matter where I've worked in my life, the jobs I've had, I've always met one good person, and that person has stayed with me for the rest of my life. It doesn't matter how many bad people we meet, that one good person encourages to see the good in life rather than the bad. We have a choice to see the good or the bad, and it's up to us.
No doubt. Let's go to Oregon City, Oregon now. Lisa is with us. Hello there. Good morning.
Good morning, George.
Good to have you with us. Go ahead.
Thank you. In my opinion, I think overall, Maurice has a general concept of how things work on a spiritual level. Although I think there's a lot of variables and holes in his theories. I was wondering what you thought of the crop circles.
What was your question?
I was wanting to know what his insight was on the crop circles.
Okay, very good. Maurice, crop formations, of course, all over the planet. What do you think of them?
Very interesting, George. It's something I have considered. And the only explanation I can give, rightly or wrongly, is this one. What I've learned from the Maya transformers, these encoded pictures that were encoded 1,250 years ago, they've been encoded to help us in our own civilization 1,250 years later. So they've been wrapped up in time for 1,250 years until I came along and decoded them using a color photocopier. They couldn't be decoded until 1989 because we didn't have the means, we didn't have the brain, therefore we had to have a color photocopier to help us to decode them. Imagine this. Imagine that you're sitting on a pyramid in the year 2300 BC. And you're guarding the pyramid that night with your friend. There's two of you on watch.
Mm-hmm.
And you're bored. But you have a laser gun each. So you decide to have a game of tic-tac-toe on the clouds. So you point your laser gun to the clouds and you draw an X. And your friend draws a circle. And you draw another X. And you play tic-tac-toe. Now you could, in the same way, write down the contents of the Bible on the cloud. You could write Genesis, in the beginning there was God, on the cloud, if you were bored.
If you're bored.
And that laser beam would go out into the universe. If you pointed it in the right direction, it would take advantage of the gravitational field of other stars and other planets, millions of light years away, or thousands of years away. And if you did the right selection of the right planet or star, that light beam would come back to Earth 3,000 years later or 4,000 years later in the year 1999. And that laser beam would hit the Earth, for example, in a cornfield. And you would repeat, the laser energy would repeat the book of Genesis. In other words, we can store information in time if we know how to do it. The Mayans did it by storing the information into their treasures. And I'm saying it's possible the crop circles could have been made, just like the Mayan information, 3,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 1,000 years ago, and it's coming back to Earth now in energy form, and it's causing patterns in the corn.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the patterns that were left behind by the ancient civilization who understood the pyramids and understood the universe.
Maurice, Future Science, available now, of course. It's on Amazon, and it's a great read, my friend. Maurice Cotterell. You still with us?
I am, George. Thank you very much.
Okay, great. Great. I thought God probably clipped you again.
No.
All right. Thanks, Maurice. You have a good holiday.
Thank you very much, George. You're welcome.
It's Maurice Cotterell, live in the United Kingdom out there. Make sure you're part of our program tomorrow, as we'll have several guests, including Jim Rickards and the Death of Money. For Brian Opry, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, David Hines, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, George Knapp, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere up there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.